Buckle up for a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We are currently joined by Sophie Barabiri. We're going to be talking about her new album, Corfi. How are you doing, Sophie?
Oh, I'm so well, Zach. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat about it.
Oh, of course. You're in Tamaki Makaurau at the moment. How is it looking up there?
It is an absolutely stunning day. I feel like, you know, we're definitely coming into spring. The rain is subsiding on a more regular basis. So, you know, you can tell that we're getting into those kind of the better months here. So it's great.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And I might have just mispronounced your last name. Is it Burberry or Burberry?
No, you're right. It's Burberry.
Oh, Burberry. Okay, because I said, yeah. I think I had the emphasis on berry, like a fruit. but no, that's cool.
Like the fashion label.
Yes. Do you have any Burberry?
Oh, I actually... Would you believe I bought a pair of Burberry sunglasses the other day?
Nice.
For a kind of a joke, but also I love them. So, yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
You got that ambient album money.
That's right.
All right, we're going to be talking about this new ambient album which you just concocted quite recently. When did it come out? It came out on the 6th, which was like 3 days ago.
Friday.
New Music Friday. What a treat. What is the connection that you have with Corfi?
I went through, you know, I was quite scientific about it. I come from a science background, but I went through all of the different native plants and trees. And for me, the Corfi was probably the most special just because it's the only semi-deciduous native plant in New Zealand. And it's got, it has a lot of significance to Māori and, you know, it signifies... kind of renewal and transformation, which I feel like we all, you know, on this earth at the moment, you know, that's something that's really important to me, and I'm hoping that, you know, us Homo sapiens can be transformative and change the direction that, you know, that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Totally agree. Speaking of, you mentioned that this album has a bit of a scientific tinge to it. It's very scientifically based. You're a scientific person. The album cover is like an old scientific kind of like colonial illustration of a Corfi branch from the 1840s, which is incredible. Where did you find this?
I spent a long time searching the National Library, getting in touch with the like botanical societies. Like, yeah, I knew what I wanted. I knew the kind of image that I wanted for the cover. And, yeah, so I just really had to dig until I found that. Yeah.
It's truth. Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely image. It reminds me of an art exhibit that was at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery a couple of years ago, where it had a lot of, you know, classic scientific illustrations of native plants. It was gorgeous. It was lovely.
I'm glad you like it. That's awesome.
As soon as I listened to this album, I mean, it's about plants. It's got synths. It is ambient. I gotta ask, you're probably gonna get asked this a lot, but are you a fan of Mort Garson's Plantasia?
Yeah, and actually, when I first thought of the concept for this album, because I hadn't made music for maybe 7 years, I was like, it just kind of came to me, and I was like, it's like a different version of Mort Garson's Plantasia, because Mort Garson's Plantasia, so I own a lot of ambient music, you know, obviously I love ambient, and Plantasia was probably one of the first albums many years ago that I heard, you know, that was popularized within the vinyl, you know, community.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, you know, that album's all about kind of singing, or music to help plants grow, I think is its tagline.
Yeah.
It was sold in plant stores in California for that specific reason. So I suppose it's just a completely like an alternative version of that. The album itself, it goes through the anatomy and physiology of the Corfi, so it's much more scientific.
For sure.
Yeah, but also what he made was phenomenal. So Mort Garson, legend. And if you get a chance to YouTube, watch the documentaries that are on YouTube of them. They're really, really cool.
I think a massive distinction between your thing and Plantasia.
Yes. Is that, but I love that you brought it up because that's, you know, yeah, when I first came up with it, as I said, it was like an alternative. In my head, it was like an alternative version of that, you know, which was cool.
I think, like, I'm pretty sure he uses a Moog, which has a bit more of a fuzzier kind of whimsier sound, whereas yours are a bit more, I guess, they're more bright.
Yes.
You know? I think that's kind of another key distinction. They're a little bit more sharp as well.
Yeah.
But no, really, really love this stuff. The entire album is composed on synths. How long have you been playing synths for?
Oh, 20 years?
Wow, nice. So you really know your stuff.
Yeah.
You're quite the expert.
I do now. Yep. It's taken me a long time. Yeah, but I... I actually did that album entirely on a digital synth. Well, on digital synths. So I used a Turiya, bought out like a really incredible package of synths that are plugins on Pro Tools, and I used those.
Nice.
So it just meant that I didn't have to go and source all of the synths, the physical, you know, analog synths myself. I got to use them on, you know, in that package. So it was, yeah, it was very helpful and very cool.
Yeah, very awesome. I think the nature of the album being synth-based kind of speaks to that transformative nature, because synths are a highly modular, highly transformative instrument. You know, they're very, very customizable.
And they've almost, like, synths, I almost feel like sometimes I feel like they're alive. Like, they're just... I've been playing with this massive synth that's almost as big as a room, and it's the Roland System 700. And, you know, yeah, to me, because every kind of thing that you, every, you know, knob that you play with, every level that you get a unique sound every single time, and no, like, trying to replicate that is impossible. And I think that's kind of like life, you know.
I think, you know, synths and guitars are yin and yang in a way, which is how modular they are and customizable they are. Yeah, it's awesome. Core-Fi is, if I'm not mistaken, I did a little bit of a digging here, as part of a composition research project you're doing for your master's. Is that correct?
Yes.
So when this process began of a composition research project, what was the state of the idea of Core-Fi going into the master's paper? Was it well fleshed out by the time, or was it just like a gleam in your eye when you were doing this paper?
No, I was very. I came up with the concept, and it just happened quite quickly. Like, I mean, it took me months and months to compose it, but what can I say? Yeah, as I said, I spent some time choosing the specific plant, the Core-Fi, and then I actually met up with some scientists from Waikato University and Auckland University. One was a specialist in plant biology, so that helped me to understand the functions, you know, the different cellular functions that were happening within each part of the plant, and also the kind of, I suppose, what BPM essentially each part should be to... you know, to represent that part of the plant. So that was really cool. And then I met up with another woman, Kate McInnes-Ing from Auckland Uni, and we actually wandered around and looked at the Core-Fi, and she knew a lot about the Core-Fi specifically. So that helped me to understand, I suppose, the special things about the Core-Fi and how to integrate those within the album as well.
Well, speaking of the kind of thematic Core-Fi, I guess, theme throughout the entire record, the album traverses through the anatomy physiology of the Core-Fi tree over the album's five songs, which develop the Core-Fi from the soil up. It starts off with the aka, which are roots, then it goes to the tata, which is the stem, the ro, which is leaves, the puawai, the flower, and lastly the taio, which is the environment. Did you create the album in this sequence as well?
Yes, I did.
Oh, nice. So very, very, very to the, I guess very, very consistent there.
Yeah, and I really loved how I progressed as a composer through. Like, I feel like the Aka, the root, is probably the best piece of composition I've ever created. Like, it's the it took me so long to create that piece, mm-hmm. and that created the intention for the rest of the album, for the rest of the tracks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then when I got to the Taiao, the environment, I was like, okay, because each piece is different, like in its sound and in obviously in its intention, but to me that last piece is kind of where I'm going to go next as well, in terms of my next album and my next output in terms of music.
Yeah. Are you going to do another concept album around a plant or an animal, or are you going to take it in a whole different direction?
No, I have already written and completed the next album.
Whoa, oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I'm just in the final, I say that, I'm in the final throes of mixing it. Mm-hmm. But that is based around astrology and the seasons.
Oh, yo, that's awesome. That is so sick. It's fascinating. Me and my brother have been complaining about how it doesn't feel like a winter in Aotearoa. And people still keep saying, oh, well, I guess it's spring now because it's September. But it's not spring. Spring starts on the 23rd.
September. Does it? Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, oh, my gosh. Yes.
You might have
yes.
to rewrite the whole album now.
And you know what? Like, one of the songs on the album, on this next album, is called Winter. So, anyway.
Oh, true. True.
Yeah. And it's very dark. And I love it.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, I'll continue on in this realm. It, you know, it's different because I've used analog since that the Roland System 700 and the Korg and the physical Korg for the next album. But it's really nice to have. Like, I think for me, the core. Yeah, as I keep saying, like, I just feel like the core five. Like, I wouldn't change a single thing about that album. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's perfect for me. And I mean, I'm the one that, you know, like, you have to be satisfied as a musician, eh? And I just feel deeply, deeply satisfied with the output for the Call Fire album, you know?
That's really good to hear. With your new thing being astrology-based, I'm very curious, what star sign are you?
I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, with
an with an Aquarius rising as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm like, double Aquarius. And I actually, my mother, for my 21st birthday present, had my astrology chart written up. Would you believe? She's really into astrology. Mm-hmm. And I'm a scientist. Like, I did a biochem, genetics, and molecular biology degree. You know, so I'm like, but I find it all kind of interesting and fun. And, you know, again, it kind of brings us back to something that's not ourselves, which is larger than us,
album
too, you know.
Yeah. Aquarius, I believe that's an air sign. I'm a Libra, so
Libra. Love Libra.
Libras are a good time. Yeah.
Man. Oh yeah, that's so sweet. I've always found every Libra in my life has been very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, same here.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get lost in the astrology chat. I don't have a whole lot of time left for the corridor. But lastly, I want to know: are you doing any shows? Any live ambient shows?
No.
No.
I don't think I'm gonna. I'm definitely not gonna perform this the Call Fire album. Mm-hmm. It's honestly those tracks are 40-50 track, like those each. Part is like 40 or 50 tracks deep. It's impossible to replicate live. And also I don't really want to like, if I think of all my favorite female synthesists, like and actually my favorite synthesists full stop, including the Japanese and people like Susan Siani and all of those kind of people, they didn't perform their stuff live, so I just don't feel the need.
Fair enough.
I know. Isn't it terrible? But I'm like, I'm feeling so selfish at the moment because everyone's like, aren't you going to perform it? And I'm like, nah.
Nah, fair enough, eh? I'm looking forward to, I have a tradition whenever I go to a sauna that I play some ambient music. So I'm really looking forward to blasting this next time I go for a sauna.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me on this on the breakfast show this morning. It was great chatting to you, Sophie.
I really appreciate that you're taking the time to talk to me, Zach. It's really cool. And yeah, look forward to having more chats and, you know, with the next one as well.
Mm-hmm. No, that'll be real fun. I'm really keen to talk about the astrology album when it comes out. That's going to be real fun. It's going to be excellent. Thank you very much for joining me, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks
thank you very
so
much.
Much.
Thank you. All right, folks, that was Sophie Burberry chatting about her new album, Corefi, which you can find all over the internet on direct streaming platforms. You can also find it in cassette form on the Flying Nun website, so be sure to get one of those. It is gorgeous, has a lovely cover, and is really beautiful stuff. It's 9:49 here on the Breakfast Program. Coming up at 10, we have Politics Now with Gatrick Power, where he's going to be chatting about movies gone woke, question mark. It's going to be very, very silly, and take everything he says with a grain of salt, of course. Anyway, take care, and we'll see you for that. Here is Sophie Burberry with Ucca. You're listening to The One. See you shortly.
Thanks for choosing a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are more just like this at r1.co.nz.